Good evening and welcome to this evening's service. We're going to have some time this evening to pray together. We're also going to take communion. But I wonder if there are any notices that people would like to bring. Anything that you want to share with us, we need to know. That was easy. So history is quite big business these days, have you noticed? Perhaps you could alter the saying to say, where there's nostalgia, there's brass. Visiting a country house, apparently, or a stately home, is the favourite occupation of we Brits these days. And if you watch the TV at all, you'll find that history crops up there from dinosaurs through the Tudors to who do you think you are? Have people been watching that? I'm waiting for Paul Merton to come up. I think that could be interesting. All the best dramas seem to be set in the past. Somebody I know recently admitted to watching Paul Dark. Well, this evening we're going to look back at what God has done. That's going to be part of what we're going to do, to try and help us and encourage us to pray. But I'll pray in a moment, and then Matthew and Sarah are going to help us and lead us in worship. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can come together into your presence. We're grateful we've been able to meet already today, and we think of those around this country and around the world who are meeting in all sorts of different ways in order to acknowledge who you are and to worship you and to hear from you. We want to join with all of those tonight, Father. Help us as we worship and lead us later as we come together to pray. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's stand together and we'll sing in worship. take your seats. We're going to read from Psalm 30. I'm not sure what page number it's on in the church Bibles. Number page 558. Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Amen. So I'm not a theologian, but my understanding of the Bible is that it portrays God as somebody who is consistent. What I mean by that is his thoughts and his words and his actions are all the same. We find this as we read about God in his word. What he thinks is what he says, and what he says is what he does. Particularly in the Old Testament, you'll find that sometimes there's no distinction made between his words and his actions. Talks about both things as though they were the same thing. It's an intriguing idea, isn't it, that somebody's personality is identical to what they say. If you were to read the opening verses in John's Gospel, it's this idea that John is playing with when he talks about Jesus being the Word. Jesus is the perfect representation of God. We looked at that a little bit this morning when we were seeing what role Irene has when she goes to Central Asia, that she's wanting to portray Jesus because he's the perfect representation of God. So by his words, his life, his actions, he portrays who God is. So an interesting idea for you to play with: the more powerful and the more able that a person is, the more powerful their word. So a child, their word might not be very powerful. A parent's word might be more powerful. A policeman, particularly if you're of my generation, a policeman's word is more powerful. The Prime Minister, well, there might be exceptions, I suppose. Let's say a Prime Minister, his word or her word is more powerful. Or what about a military dictator, someone who is able to put into action what he says? Or what about the creator of the universe? His spoken word is powerful. And that's why John's playing with those ideas when he introduces Jesus, the word of God. What God says is what he does. So the Bible portrays God as somebody you could dip in to God anywhere and you'd get the same message. So it's not as though God has a quiet sort of off time when he behaves badly. You might be familiar with that, because I think we're all inclined to that, aren't we? We sort of do things that are right most of the time. And then we might have a private time when we're not so strict with ourselves. God's not like that. God is entirely consistent all the time. So you can look at anything that God does and you'll be properly informed about him. What he says, what he thinks, and what he does is all the same. God is consistent. So I think we can look back at what God does, his actions, and it informs us about who he is and what he's like. And we're not alone in being able to do that. The Bible does that. The Psalms do that in particular. That psalm I read to you did. Psalm 78, if you take the trouble to read that, a longer psalm, rehearses what God did in the past. Psalm 105. So I could go on. There's about 40 of the psalms that specifically looks back at what God has done and what they expect God to do again, and they know what God is like. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2 says this: Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And we could find examples in the New Testament if we wanted to, particularly Stephen, when he defends himself. His sermon, or his defense, was nearly all about what God had done. And Paul does a similar thing in Acts 13. Again, introducing Jesus Christ by saying what God has done. So we can copy what the psalmists do, and I think we can learn from what other writers in the Bible do as they look back and they remember what God has done. Some people regard this time of the year as the end of one year and the beginning of another. If you're inclined towards the academic year, then the students have all gone and they'll all be coming back again. September, October, young people will be going back to school. Teachers will be picking up the threads of things. And so very often this time of the year is almost as much the end and the beginning of a year as the new year is. So it's a good time, perhaps, to look back over the past year to what God has done, and then that might stimulate our prayers. So three things I can want to suggest to you that we might do as we look back, and I think we could find these themes in the Psalms as well. So one of the things that the psalmists often do when looking back is they remark on their disobedience, where they've gone wrong. So I remember what it was like, or how it happened before, but it's not like this now. What have we done to cause this? And very often, in remembering, the psalmist or the writers also confess what's happened. It's important that we confess. It's important that we confess as a nation. It is difficult for a rich man, but I think it's also difficult for a rich nation to enter the kingdom of heaven. In our time and in our country, we have so much to lose that people don't turn to Christ and don't place their trust in him because they have so many other things that they trust, things that they would have to part with if they were going to genuinely follow Jesus. And we are also part of that culture. It affects us as well. So looking back means we recall that we may have been disobedient as a nation. Perhaps personally we might have things to confess. And we need to turn away from those things. It's not blaming. So it's not blaming other people. It's recognizing that our sin and our failure contributes to the things that are going wrong and the way in which we're not being blessed. But another theme that crops up in Psalms that look back is this idea of passing the message on to the next generation. And I don't think that just means talking to your children or your grandchildren, though it probably does include that. I think it's a case of giving credit where it's due. Being public about what God has done and what he's likely to do in the future. Talking to one another about what's happened. Giving God the credit where it's due. Deliberately setting out to explain that God did this. I prayed and God answered these prayers. Passing on the message. But thirdly, I think in nearly every case that you'll read about people looking back in the Bible, psalmists looking back, you'll find that it leads them to worshipping God. It doesn't primarily lead them to asking for more things, though they may. But it leads them to worship God. And it should all do, also do with us. So they end up pointing to the giver, not the gift. So the gift, the ways in which God's answered prayer and provided for them, makes them think of him and what he's like and how grateful they should be to him. Having a relationship with God puts everything into proportion. We know who he is, we know what he's like, and we can respond to him appropriately. That's worship. So as we look back, and I'll give you the opportunity to do that shortly. As we look back, let's remember how we've been disobedient and failed in our promises to God. Let's be ready to pass on the message. And let's be inclined to turn towards God in worship. So I didn't quite know how to outline any prayers that we could follow this evening. So I think, is that those slides? Here we are. So I've got some printed copies here, which I'll give to you in a moment. But I thought I would just run through. These are just ideas. And when we break up into groups, you'll have an opportunity to add to these. So in the whole church, I think we can look back and be grateful to God that we've made progress in setting out our stall as a church, purpose and values. Grateful for Peter's good health and the role that he's playing in the church. The appointment of Matt Wright and of interns Gideon Fairhall and Hannah Childs. You'll have the opportunity to add to that if you wish to. What's the next one? Headingley. There have been some baptisms at Headingley recently. We've got a unified leadership team now at Headingley, morning and evening together. And we've had open air services over the last year, use the courtyard, and there's plans afoot perhaps to use the courtyard again. Connect, it's been successful in partnering with Copper Beach Hub and the Salvation Army. Had an excellent fun day, hundreds of people coming along, and they had some great community events during Christmas. Crag, we have a Christian schools worker established in Horsforth in the secondary school there. We've had some new members, people coming into membership at Crag, and we had two baptisms at Easter. Rooted, now a gathering. Rooted, we can give thanks for that. There's opportunities arisen for some of us to do some training, for missions to the margins. And there's been excellent numbers. We had over 30 people come to Rooted this last Tuesday. And lastly, I think, answered prayers. And I put up particularly Kelly Churchill. Many of you will remember how ill and how unwell Kelly was earlier in the year. And Kate supplied me with two excellent photographs, which I carefully put onto a memory stick and put in my pocket. When I got here tonight, it wasn't there. I don't know how that's up. So I'm sorry you gave me the photographs, Kate, but I haven't got them. Two excellent photographs of when Kelly was in Papworth Hospital, very, very, very seriously ill. And another one of her sitting with her brothers and sisters in the garden, well on the road to recovery. So what I'd like to do is give you, if you could break up into groups of 6 to 8, let me give you these. I'm not expecting you to pray for all these items. What I think you should do, your group should pick out one or two. And if you want to add to what's on the list, then do so, and then spend some time praying together. So spend a bit of time looking back, and then some time praying together. Is that okay if you break up into groups of 6 or 8? You're all very, you know, not very sure about this, are you? Once you've formed your groups, I'll give you a piece of paper and then you can play. So don't attempt to pray for all those items. Sorry about that, they were lovely photographs. Oh, yes. Here we are.
Thank you.
There's a lot more things that could go on that list, but it's just... if we perhaps draw our prayers to a close. So we'll come to a time of communion together. Would somebody like to do a reading for me? Read from Revelation chapter 5. No difficult words in it. Chapter 5, 1 to 10, please. And it's not just my voice.
Seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth."
So we often at communion time remind ourselves that Jesus sat with his disciples to take communion, and it was his practice to eat with his friends. But he's another sight that we can have. Here's a picture of that battle that goes on behind the scenes. Jesus wasn't just a friendly guy who ate with his friends. This is the sovereign Lord, the God of all creation, the one who was worthy to open the seals. And so we can see that the one that we come to remember at communion is the one who is able, the one who is the Lord, the one who can purchase for us salvation. So that shouldn't deter us from coming to God's table. It doesn't mean that you're not able to. We come to God's table because we need his blessing. We need grace and strength for the week ahead. We come to be encouraged and to know more of Jesus Christ. But let's see that this is the risen one, the Almighty. Let me read for you Paul's familiar words. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So let's have a moment's quiet as we examine ourselves and we consider who it is who gave up his life for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the simple meal that you introduced for us, you've given to us, that we might remember you. We're grateful to you for your love and your willingness to pay a great price to give us freedom. We thank you, Father, that you have set us free. We thank you that you have plans to redeem us and to redeem the world. We pray, Lord, that as we take of this bread and of this wine, that you would come to us by your Spirit, encourage us and lift us up, help us to go forward in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think there are a couple of people who are going to help serve. Jesus says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Thank you, Andrew. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. keep the cup, and then we'll drink together when everybody's been served. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you. I don't know how well founded this tradition is, but some people take communion as an opportunity to pray for people with particular needs, people who are ill. Perhaps there's somebody tonight that you would like us to remember. If you have a name or you want to mention somebody, there's a lady who came to church this morning, Margaret, who we know over at Crag from drop-in. She's not very well, and she went to the trouble of coming to the service this morning, so I'd like to pray for Margaret. Anybody else we can pray for? Sue.
My cousin.
Sue's cousin.
And her daughter, Jean and Sally.
Jean and Sally. Anybody else?
Irene.
Sorry?
Irene.
Say that again.
Irene.
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 Yes.
Irene.
Irene. Irene. Who's Eileen?
Irene from my
resident. Ah, right. Sorry?
Maureen.
Alison.
My friend Denise.
Denise. Is Denise unwell or is she?
She's just lost her husband.
All right.
And all my residents at Victoria Court.
Indeed.
Rita.
Rita? Yes, Rita. Rita, somebody else who's not been well recently at Crag?
A couple coming in France, Genevieve and Andrew.
Genevieve and Andrew. Well, let me lead you in prayer and we can mention these names. Bring these matters to God. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer at any time and under any circumstances. But we want to come to you now as a family, as your children, and we want to bring to you these different people. We think of Margaret and of Rita, who we know from Crag, and we pray for their health, their current situation. But we pray also for their contact with the church, pray for their understanding of the faith, and we ask for your blessing on them. We pray for Jean and Sally, and Genevieve and Andrew, who have all faced difficulties and tragedies in the last few days. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them, bless them, give them support, help them to know that there is a God and that you are concerned for them. Pray for Eileen, one of the people that is known from a workplace. Ask, Lord, that you would be with her. Pray for Maureen Spearing. Pray for Denise. We pray for Julia. We pray, Father, for all of those who live in Victoria Court. We lift these people up to you, Father, and ask that you would bless them and you would provide for their different needs. Ask that you would be with them and strengthen them and give them peace. We pray, Lord, that you would heal them and help them to be restored. Father, we thank you that we can come to you with our prayers and with our thanksgiving for your goodness to us. Hear our prayers, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together to close. We're going to sing that lovely song, "There Is a Redeemer." And I think we'll take up the offering during this song. We'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
these gifts to you with gratitude for all that we have, that we are able to give. And we pray, Lord, you'd be with us now and with us into the week ahead. Direct our steps. Help us to be generous and open, willing to serve. We pray that we would be open to the leading of your Spirit so that we can do your bidding, not just our own. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.